Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Text Number 11. Madhu Bhoja Dasarha. Madhu Bhoja Dasahara.
Madhu Bhoja Dasahara.
Kukurang Daka Vrishnibe. Kukurang Daka Vrishnibe.
Kukurang Daka Vrishnibe.
Atmatu Yapaler Guptam. Atma tuya balet guptam.
Atma tuya balet guptam.
Nager bhogavatim
eva.
Nager bhogavatim
eva.
Madhu bhoja dasartara.
Madhu bhoja dasartara.
Kukurandaka Vrishnibe.
Kukurandaka Vrishnibe.
Atmatoya Baler Guptam.
Atmatoya Baler Guptam.
Nagar Bhojavatim
Eva. Nagar Bhojavatim
Eva. Madhu Bhoja Dasarhara.
Madhu Bhoja Dasarhara.
Kukurandaka Vrishnibe.
Kukurandaka Vrishnibe.
Atmatuya Baler Guptam.
Atmatuya Baler Guptam.
Nagar Bhogavatim
Eva. Nagar Bhogavatim
Eva.
Madhu Bhoja
Dasarha. Madhu Kukurandaka Vrishnidhi.
Atmatuya
Baler Guptam.
Nagar Bhogavatim Eva.
Nagar Bhogavatim Eva.
Madhu Bhoja Dasarha.
Madhu Bhoja Dasarha.
Kukurandaka
Vrishnidhi.
Atmatuya
Baler Guptam.
Nagar Bhogavatim
Eva.
Madhu
Bhoja Dasarhara.
Kukurandaka Vrishnidhi.
Kukurandaka Vrishnidhi.
Atmatuya
Baler Guptam.
Nagar Bhogavatim
Eva.
Madhu. Bhoja.
Bhoja.
Dasarha.
Dasarha.
Arha.
Arha.
Kukura.
Kukura.
Andaka.
Andaka.
Vrishnidhi.
Vrishnidhi.
By the descendants of Vrishni.
By the descendants of Vrishni.
Atmatuya.
Atmatuya.
As good as himself.
As good as himself.
Balai.
By strength.
Guptam. Protected. Nagai.
Nagai.
By the Nagas.
By the Nagas.
Bhogavatim.
Bhogavatim.
The capital of Nagaloka.
The capital of Nagaloka.
Eva.
Eva.
Light.
Light.
Translation. As Bhogavati, the capital of Nagaloka, is protected by the Nagas, so was Dwarka protected by the descendants of Vrishni, Bhoja, Madhu, Dasharha, Arha, Kukura, Andaka, etc., who were as strong as Lord Krishna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Nagaloka planet is situated below the earth planet, and it is understood that the sun's rays are hampered there. The darkness of the planet is, however, removed by the flashes of the jewels set on the heads of the Nagas, celestial serpents. And it is said that there are beautiful gardens, rivulets, etc., for the enjoyment of the Nagas. It is understood here also that the place is well protected by the inhabitants. So also the city of Dwarka was well protected by the descendants of Vrishni, who were as powerful as the Lord, insofar as he manifested his strength upon this earth. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Vancha Kaupatarubhyastha Kripa Sindhubhaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanecho Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we're hearing about Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwarka, and the citizens were speaking, the citizens of Dwarka were praising Lord Krishna. The citizens of Dwarka are praising the city of Dwarkapuri, their city of Dwarka. They're describing here in this verse how Dwarka is very well protected. And they give the example, just like Bhogavati, the capital of the Nagas, is well protected by the Nagas. So, in the same way, this Dwarka is protected by so many different descendants of Vrishni, different devotee families. The population of Dwarka was huge. In the Krishna book, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, describes how many millions of people were living in Dwarka. And there were so many brahmanas also to educate everyone. Inconceivable. Of course, the Dwarka where Krishna was living is very different from the Dwarka today. When you go to see Dwarka today, it's just like a small village, you know. It's very nice, very beautiful, but like a village. It's not very big. So Krishna had brought all of his queens, his whole family members, his mother, father, everybody, moved everyone from Mathura to Dwarka to protect them from Kalayavana and Jarasandha. They were attacking Mathura at the same time. Jarasandha had already been defeated many times. Krishna wasn't afraid of them, but he didn't want to have a lot of killing going on. So in the middle of the night, he moved everyone from Mathura to Dwarka. When you go to Dwarka, it's such a remote place. You know, I went a couple of years ago with some devotees, and wow, it's so
You go for miles and miles, and all you see is these salt lakes. You know, they're making salt everywhere. You know, all these lakes where they're making salt, big salt beds for making salt. And for miles and miles, and then finally you come to the coast, and there's Dwarka right on the coast. It's flat, very flat land, and you get there to Dwarka. And Dwarka is also so much salt in the air. All the buildings corrode. They don't have marble temples. They use granite because marble would just corrode with all the salt. So they build the temples out of granite. So Krishna moved everyone from Mathura to Dwarka when Jarasandha was coming with his army, Kalayavna was coming. Krishna thought better to move everyone. And it's described here, the strength of the people who were protecting Dwarka, that their strength was as strong, they were as strong as Lord Krishna. How is it possible they could be as strong as Lord Krishna? Krishna is Bhagavan. And it said, no one can have opulence greater than Bhagavan, or even equal. Are they also Bhagavan? No, they're not Bhagavan, but because they are the devotees of Bhagavan, so they enjoy opulences on the same level as Bhagavan. Just like a king lives in his palace, and in the palace there's also so many ministers and servants and, you know, all of his different people who are part of the entourage of the king. So they enjoy on the same level as the king. They eat the same food the king eats. They live in the palace, the same as the king, you know. And if the king goes somewhere, maybe they go with the king, you know. So like that, they enjoy opulences on the same level. So although Lord Sri Krishna is Bhagavan and he possesses all the opulences, the devotee of the Lord can enjoy also the opulences of the Lord, because they use the opulences in the service of the Lord. When you have the mood of using everything for the service of the Lord, then the Lord gives more. He can reciprocate, because he knows the purpose. We see how Srila Prabhupada went to America to preach Krishna consciousness, and he only took some rupees with him, and he brought some books with him, and gradually Krishna provided. You know, he sent people like, you know, Ambarish Ford and George Harrison, that they could donate their wealth for the service of Krishna, of the Krishna consciousness movement. So that's just one example how Krishna reciprocates with devotees. When the devotees desire for the service of the Lord, then Krishna provides. Just like Raghunath Das Goswami was living in Radhakund, and he wanted to make the nice kund for people to come and bathe there. Because Radhakund at the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been lost, and it was simply a rice field. But when Lord Chaitanya came there to Vrindavan, he told everyone, he had to ask people, where is Radhakund? And then he found out, and then he went in this rice field and he started taking bath and putting all the, you know, it was a paddy field, and he was taking it. So they were surprised, and Lord Chaitanya told them, this is Radhakund, this is the place where Radha and Krishna performed their pastime. So Lord Chaitanya rediscovered Radhakund and Shamakund, and then Raghunath Das Goswami was living there. But Raghunath Das Goswami, although he came from a very rich family, he had left everything behind. He did not bring anything with him. He came with nothing. And he was living there in Vrindavan. And he was thinking it would be very nice if he could make a nice bathing place at this Radhakund. So there was one man, he was going up to Badrinath. You know Badrinath in the Himalayas? He was going up to Badrinath. You know, there's Badrinath, Kedarnath, Gangotri, Yamunotri. Those are the four dams in the Himalayas. So he was going up there, and his plan was when he would go there and give charity. He was taking all of this, a lot of wealth. He wanted to give big donation there to the temple, Badrinath. There's one temple there. So while he was on the way to the Badrinath, he had a dream. And in the dream, he got ordered by the Lord. He said, you should go to Radhakund, and Radhakund, you will find Raghunath Das there. You give your wealth to Raghunath Das. He needs your money. So the man came back and he went to Radhakund and he found out that who is the Raghunath, who is Raghunath. And then he met Raghunath Goswami and he told him, the Lord appeared in my dream and he told me I should come and give you this money. So Raghunath Das got that money, and then he hired workers and he dug out and he made a nice ghat. Or Radhakund made the nice bathing place. So like this is how Krishna reciprocates. If a devotee, if we need something, then Krishna knows about it. You know, we don't have to petition the Lord. We don't have to, oh, Krishna, I need this, you know. You know, we don't have to tell him everything we need, you know. Like sometimes, you know, the students, you know, before the exams, you know, they come to Lord, oh Lord Balaji, please give me the good grades, you know. Like this, you know, they come to the Lord and they tell him everything they want. So we don't need to do that, you know. Krishna knows everything. Krishna doesn't have to be told everything. Krishna knows everything. He's omnipresent and he's omniscient. So he knows everything. He's omnipotent also. Means he can do everything. He can fulfill all of our desires. But Krishna knows also what is our qualification to receive. So according to our qualification, then Krishna provides for us. So when we need something for the Lord, then the Lord can give that for us. Just like Pandavas were going, they had no kingdom, they had nothing. So they had to go to war. They had to fight this Kurukshetra war. And in 15 days, the Lord gave them the whole world. They became king of the world. So Prabhupada says in the same way, in 15 days, the Lord can give you the whole world. Are you ready to receive it? Would you know how to take care of it, what to do with it? So that's the thing, that we have to be qualified, just like this strength to give all of these people great strength was certainly a risk. Just like Drona was a great teacher of military arts, but there was this Ekalavya, he wanted to also be the student of Drona. Drona would not accept him. Even though he was very devoted to Drona, Drona could not accept him. Because Drona knew, if I give my knowledge to this Ekalavya, it will be very bad. Because he was Nishada. He was this tribal, you know, and he was also not a good person. Ultimately, he was killed by Krishna. So Drona did not give his knowledge to Ekalavya. In the same way, Krishna can give this strength, unlimited strength. He can give it to anybody, but he'll be very careful who he gives it to. Because if you give strength, too much power to the wrong person, then it goes to their head. You know, they become intoxicated by it. So this is a problem. People have to be qualified to to receive the blessings of the Lord. So like this, these people, these Boja, Andaka, Kukura, Arha, all of these different people, they were qualified, they must have been qualified to receive the potency of the Lord, to be as strong as Krishna. Although they have the strength of Krishna, they're not going to fight with Krishna, but they will use it in the service of Krishna. So this is the idea, that whatever we have to use it in the service of Krishna. Whatever opulence is in the world, it's actually, it belongs to Krishna. And if we use it for ourselves, then that is a thief. We're simply thieves. We're enjoying what is not our property. Ultimately, everything belongs to Krishna, and it should be used for his service. So these different abilities, like this being very powerful and strong, or having great knowledge, great learning, or fame, beauty, wealth, strength, all of these, and renunciation, all of these different opulences are given by the grace of the Lord, and they should be used for the Lord's service. Otherwise, they will be taken from us, and they will be the cause of our own destruction. So we see actually how the inhabitants, the Vrishnis, were living there. The Yadu dynasty were all living there in Dwarka. And at a certain point, it came time for Lord Krishna to finish his pastimes in this world. So because they were all unlimitedly strong, nobody could defeat them. Nobody could come and challenge them and defeat them. But the Lord was preparing to finish his pastimes, and he knew that if he left before all of the Yadu dynasty, then it would be a problem, because they would not be able to bear separation from the Lord, because they were so devoted. So the Lord arranged that they would go and fight. They had this, what is called a fratricidal war. It means a war between brothers, family dispute. They went to a place called Somavas, and they were drinking this wine. They became intoxicated, drinking some rice wine, and then they all fought with each other and killed each other. Everyone died. So in this way, the Yadu dynasty left the world. Lord Krishna arranged that they would all kill each other, and then after they had all killed, that way they were able to go back to their posts in the higher planets, or where they came from. Some came from the spiritual world, and some came from the higher planets, so they could go back to their places, and the Lord could then also finish his pastimes. But Krishna didn't want that he would go first, because he knew that it would be very bad for his devotees who were all left. So Krishna sent his devotees, he sent the Yadu dynasty back first. And then after they left, then he left. Okay, any question?
I heard yesterday they just found the new Dwarka in National Geography also.
Uh-huh.
And then one devotee was telling me that it's also there in the Skon New. They found Skon New, they found the Dwarka in the National Geography, the scientists found it.
What did they find?
I also have not checked it yet.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's all there.
Some devotees just say that it's submerged under the water, the Dwarka planet. They found that structure like that. The archaeologists. The devotees of the Indian community, they were saying that it's Dwarka Palace, because it was there before.
It says there in the news, I've got it in the news.
That's the next question. sometimes like we see that devotees, they try to get whatever they have, the opulences, and then they try to use it in the service of Krishna, like money.
Yeah.
And then, but sometimes some devotees, they reject those qualities, I mean reject those opulences, and then become austere and all. So is this completely dependent on the how the devotees want to use it or do it, or is it something that which one is better or something?
Well, renunciation is also an opulence. You know, that's also there if they want to. Of course, if they depends on the particular situation, you know. Generally, if we get some opulence, you know, if we can use it for Krishna, then that's very good. But if, you know, a person is inclined to renunciation, that is also very good. Just that renouncing opulence, that is a very good example that a person is giving up opulence to take up the path of devotion, because opulence can also bring a lot. Raghunath Das Goswami left his home. His family were devotees, but he left his home because he did not like all the wealth, the opulence. He wanted to renounce. He did not like the, he did not feel comfortable in the home. He wanted to go and be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then his father sent a lot of money. His father sent a lot of money because first his father sent men to try to capture him, to bring him back, but they couldn't capture him, couldn't find him. So then he heard he'd gone to Jagannath Puri, so his father sent a lot of money and servants and cooks. So he kept him for some time, and he would arrange feasts for Lord Chaitanya. He would invite him regularly to come, and he would feed him sumptuous food. He wouldn't eat himself, but he would provide for, he would invite Lord Chaitanya and different devotees to come and have prasada. But then after some time, then he thought, this money, this is not good. He got the realization that this was not proper, and he sent the servants back, he sent whatever money was left back, he sent it back, he didn't want it anymore. And instead he used to go and beg, and he would stand outside the gate. When people would come out, they have prasada. So then he would beg some prasada from them. And in this way he would maintain. He would eat whatever he could beg. But then he thought, this is also bad. I shouldn't be doing this. I'm standing here begging from people. So he got the idea, he would go to the drain where they wash the pots. And he would collect all the rice which is put down the drain. When they clean out the pots, you know, some rice is stuck in the pots, and they, so he would collect all of that from the drain, from the gutter. And then he would wash it and clean it and dry it. Then he would eat it. That was his prasada. And then Lord Chaitanya heard about it. He said, I hear you're having nectarian prasada and you're not inviting me. Lord Chaitanya said, why you're not inviting me? Lord Chaitanya also wanted to have some of that prasada. So like that, this is Raghunath Das, you know, he was, you know, that kind of person, renowned. Generally, you know, in the modern times, you know, we're not, you know, we can't imitate Raghunath Das Goswami. Sometimes you get people like that, you know, they come and they do it for a little while, you know. They try to be like that, you know, they're very renowned. They give up eating, hardly eating, hardly sleeping. But then after some time, then they go again back to Maya. They don't remain the Krishna consciousness. So we have to be practical. We have to find a level of Krishna consciousness that we can maintain. You know, it's not big renunciation for a month and then after a month then go back to sense gratification. You know, we shouldn't be premature transcendence, you know, premature transcendence. and then you go back and you realize, well, I'm not really ready for this, you know. You know, we should be able to maintain. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he maintained his renunciation. We don't mind, renunciation is very good, but they should maintain their renunciation. Shouldn't be Bhogatyaga. Tyaga, renunciation, and then enjoyment. And then renunciation, then more enjoyment. You know, like, this month I'm very renounced. And next month, well, what to do, I'm a fallen soul. And next month I'm going to be more renounced. I've got to be renounced. Mm-hmm. Like that, you know. Bhogatyaga. Flickering, alternating sense gratification and renunciation. No, we should maintain our level of renunciation. There should be some level, standard level, standard regulation of the senses. Then it's purifying. Okay, so the other thing I was thinking, Nagaloka Prabhupada said one time, the Chinese come from Nagaloka.
Chinese come from Nagaloka.
Like the snakes, you know. That's what I heard Prabhupada said then. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya.